and came up to him, saying, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments." He said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these I have kept. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your peace and your strength and your anointing. Thank you that your will is going to be done in this service. And thank you, Father God, that the distractions will be cut down to a bare minimum, Lord, that we will be able to feel your presence and hear your voice and receive the message and walk in it, Lord. Thank you, Father, that your will is going to be done, that your messenger is going to say what needs to be said, and it will be received. And we love you and we praise you, Lord, in Jesus' wonderful, precious name. And every single person in the church building said, amen. Okay, give the Lord some praise, church folk. So if you've ever been to church before, obviously, more than likely, you've heard about the rich young ruler or the rich young man. That's what we're talking about today. Okay, so just to set it up a little bit, Jesus is back in Judea. He has left Galilee. He's back in Judea with his disciples and basically are literally making his way to Jerusalem. But as he enters this region, tons and tons of people begin to flock around him. So Jesus begins to do his miracles. He begins to heal these people and he begins to teach them the good news. Big crowd of people formed up around him. Jesus, not missing this opportunity, begins to do what he does. Share with the people the love of Jesus, the good news, the gospel, and does these miracles. So as he's doing this, here comes this rich fella, this rich young man, pulls up in his fancy chariot. We don't know how he got there, but anyways, this rich guy shows up. And if you have a King James version, it says rich young ruler. So this guy was a man of means. He was a wealthy guy, and he would have some influence. But he wants to talk to Jesus. That's where we're at today. So if we could go to slide two, we're going to dig into this. If you're ready to dig into the Word of God, say, let's get going. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Matthew 19:16. "And behold, a man came up to him saying, 'Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?'" Right off the bat, this rich young man has got the wrong ideal about eternal life right from the get-go. But I want you to notice something. Where did he go with his issue? He went to Jesus Christ. So whatever you're going through, whether you have a question about salvation, or you're just really going through something right now, or you're just confused, whatever you're going through right now, I want you to run to Jesus. I want you to give it to Jesus, okay? Okay, and that's what this young man's doing. He says, "And behold, a man came up to him saying, 'Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?'" So he says, "What good thing do I need to be doing to have eternal life?" Okay, he's got the wrong idea. Can I get a witness? Because it's not about how good you are. And aren't you glad, church people? Aren't you glad it's not about how good you are? Because none of us are good enough. You know, but that is the... And I don't want to step on anybody's toes. I love each and every person in here, okay? But it's not about the good deeds you are or how good you are, okay? That is a huge common misconception. I hear it all the time. I hear it all the time from people that have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I hear this argument, and they mean it. They mean it. They're like, "Well, I'm a good person. I'm a good person." And I'm not doubting that. I used to doubt that. Could you be a good person? Could you have really good qualities and not be a Christian? Absolutely, man. I know some great people that have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Amen. That's just how it is. Okay. We've all fallen short. We ain't no more perfect than my English I just said there. We're no more perfect than that person that has not accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We've just made that wonderful, precious. We have accepted that wonderful gift. Can I get a witness? We've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Okay, but that's a very huge common misconception. I hear it over and over again. I'm a good person. I'm a good person. Are the good things I do outweigh the bad things I've done? That's not how this thing works. Amen? Look with me at Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Okay? Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved. What is grace? Grace is God's favor. Grace is God's unmerited favor over you, or the favor of the Lord that you did not deserve, that you did not earn. And see, this is the wonderful, precious thing. Before we go around pointing our fingers at people or condemning people, listen to what God says. For by grace you have been saved through faith. So it's my faith, putting my trust in Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ did all the hard work. Amen. And what a wonderful, wonderful, amazing thing, because it's not about how good you are, because none of us could accomplish that. Amen. We couldn't come close. By grace, you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. Listen to this. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Not a single person in here or anywhere in the world, for that matter, can boast and say, you know what, I'm good enough, I'm cool enough, I'm rich enough, I've done a nice good things, enough good stuff for me to be able to get into heaven. Nope, nobody can boast, nobody can brag about that, amen, because it is by grace, it's by the gift of Jesus Christ. So this young man coming to Jesus, thank God that he came to Jesus, and that's what we need to do. We need to come to Jesus with our issues, with our problems, whatever it might be. Amen. He wants us to spend time with him. Okay. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let me just focus on my text. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Okay, now look with me at Matthew 19, 17, our very next verse. Rich young man. And he said to him, this is Jesus talking to the rich young man. And he said to him, why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments. This is really, really cool right here. We have this one-on-one conversation. Jesus, the rich young man. And he says, good teacher, our teacher, good teacher. What must I do to be saved? And Jesus says, what are you talking about good? What's this about? And he said to him, why do you ask me about what is good? Okay, Jesus is drawing this young man in and he's saying, look, why are you talking to me? There's only one person that's good. There's only one person that is good enough to make heaven his dwelling place. And that's God the Father. Only God is good. Only God is infinitely good. Rich young man, even though you got your act together, you are not good enough to do this. You're not even in the same ballpark as our God, who is holy, holy, holy. Amen. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short. Okay, you're not good enough on your own. Now look at Romans 3:23, okay? God, just a couple steps down the Roman road. For all have sinned. Does that encompass all of us? Every single person. That's got the rich young man's wrapped up in that, our neighbor down the street, and especially me. Amen? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So Jesus talking to this young fella, he's like, okay, only one is good, and that's God. Okay, you're not good enough you're not good enough to get eternal life on your own. Your good deeds aren't going to cut it. Okay, you're a great person. I'm sure you are. But compared to Jesus Christ, you're not good enough. So there's a standard. Amen. Can I get a witness? It's like you go to see a movie. All right. You got to be a certain age to see certain movies, right? That's kind of a stupid example. Okay. But what are you talking about, man? Okay. Well, there is a standard that you have to meet to go into that theater to watch a certain movie. Amen. You got to be a certain age. You're going to go to the fair, the carnival, or whatever, and you want to get on the ride. Well, guess what? The carny is going to be like, hey, you got to be this tall. Stand up against this ruler here. You got to be this tall to get on the ride. That's a standard that you have to meet to be able to get on the ride. So talking about eternal life, Amen. There's a standard that we got to meet, and that standard is perfection. That's a big deal, man. That's a big deal. But it's by God's grace that we have been saved. So this young man is like, what good deed? What good deed? What do I need to be doing so I can have eternal life? Jesus is like, it's not about that. It's not about good deeds. Only God is good enough to get into heaven. We've all fallen short. Let's go to the next slide. And not just the, stay at slide two. I'm sorry, stay at slide two. We've all fallen short, not just this rich young fella, but Matthew 19 and 17. And he said to him, why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. So Jesus is making this point. Only God's good. But also, don't you see what's going on here? Jesus is reaching out to this young man with love. And he's saying, rich young man, young fella, do you realize who you're talking to? There's only one that's good. Do you realize who you're talking to here? Amen. He's saying, the invitation is being offered to you. In other words, young man, look around. You see the miracles. You see the poor being taught the gospel. You see these wonderful, miraculous signs. Surely, if you open your ears, you can hear. Open your eyes and you can see. Surely the prophets of the Old Testament were talking about Jesus Christ. And we know that. Looking back on that, we know that. But Jesus is talking to this young man and saying, hey, think about this for a second. Do you realize who it is that is talking to you right now, that you're talking to? What he's saying, church people, is don't miss your opportunity. Don't miss your chance for salvation, right? Okay, so, I'll give you an example here. So John 4 in verse 10, John 4 in verse 10, we have the woman at the well, or the Samaritan woman at the well. So Jesus, we're jumping to another story real fast. So everybody just, you know, try and pay attention best you can. So Jesus is coming into this Samaritan village. Now there's a problem between Samaritans and Jews. Samaritans and Jews were very racially prejudiced against one another. Jews didn't like the Samaritans. Samaritans didn't like the Jews. Okay? But here's Jesus, instead of being like every other person that would go around Samaria. Every other Jew would go around Samaria. They didn't want to have anything to do with the Samaritans. But Jesus was going right through Samaria. Okay? So what is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, I hate racial prejudice. I can't stand it. That's what Jesus is saying. You know what I mean? So anyways, Jesus goes to the outskirts of this village and he stops at the well and the disciples go into the village to get food. Well, Jesus is at the well and here comes this lady, the Samaritan woman. She comes in the heat of the day to get her water because she probably wasn't very popular with the other women folk that would have to go to the well in the morning. It said that she had, five husbands, and the guy she is with now, she's not married to. So she probably didn't have a very good name for herself in this community. But she goes to the well to draw her water. But guess who's there? Jesus Christ is there waiting on her. So yes, the rich young man, he sought out Jesus to get his answer. But aren't you so glad that Jesus also seeks you out? That he seeks you out? You know what I mean? Jesus knew what he was doing. Yes, Jesus was thirsty. Yes, he was tired. But he said, this is going to be a perfect thing right here because I'm going to sit here. And here comes this Samaritan woman who I love so much. Well, she's a Samaritan. She's different than you. Oh, no. Jesus doesn't see things like that. He says, no Jew, no Greek, no male, no female, no slave, no free. Jesus didn't see things like that. Amen. Aren't you glad that we belong to Jesus Christ? And he says, that is all rubbish. So Jesus, and you know, he says, hey, I'm thirsty. Could you give me a drink? And the Samaritan woman says, hey, I don't know if you can see so well, but I'm a Samaritan and you're a Jew. We usually don't talk to each other. And this is what Jesus says. Jesus goes right to the point. I don't want to waste any time talking about how you think you're better than me or I might think. No. That's all rubbish. Let's get to the heart of the matter. So this is what Jesus says, John 4 in verse 10. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God, What is the gift of God? That's what we're talking about today. The gift of God is what you cannot earn. The gift of God is eternal life. And that is a free gift from God. All you have to do is accept it. You know, so Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Okay, Jesus says, if you would understand who you're talking to right now, this conversation could change really, really fast. Because it's not just about me getting a drink of water. It's not just about me taking a break underneath the sun. It's about talking to you about forgiveness of sins. It's about talking to you about eternal life. Jesus is saying to the Samaritan woman, don't miss this opportunity. Don't miss this opportunity to accept the free gift of God. And that's what Jesus, the point that Jesus is making to the rich young man, same point. Hey, there's only one that's good. Do you know who you're talking to? You're talking to the one who is truly good. Don't miss this opportunity for salvation. And that call goes out to each and every one of us. I hope everybody in here has accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But if you have not, I'm saying to you, don't miss this opportunity. Today is the day of salvation. Amen. Tomorrow is not promised to you. Amen. Don't say, I'll do it tomorrow, I'll do it next week, because you don't know what tomorrow holds. Amen. And right now, you cannot say you will never be able to stand before a holy God and say, I never knew about this. I never heard the gospel. You're hearing it right now. You're hearing it right now. So you have to make that decision. Okay. So Matthew 9 and 17. And he said to him, why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. I'll get it. If you would enter life, this is what Jesus says. Check it out. Okay, so I go back, not every week, but I will go back and listen to a lot of the sermons that I do up here, kind of critiquing it, really kind of painful. Not as painful as it is for you guys right now. Yeah. But I'll go back and I'm like, man, you know what? I get to talking really, really fast, man. I don't know what that's about. So I mix my word. I kind of combine my words up together and make these weird, funny words. It doesn't matter. I don't know what I'm talking about. But let's get back on track. Matthew 9:17, Jesus says this. If you would enter life, or if you want eternal life, or if you want salvation, rich young man, if you would enter life, keep the commandments. So we're talking about rich young man. We're talking about being good, or who is good, or who's good enough to get into heaven, to get eternal life. And Jesus says, well, let's look at the law. Let's look, because what is the commandments? What is the law? It is a mirror, right? It's a mirror, because when I look at the Ten Commandments, it shows me how imperfect I am and how much I need a Savior. You know, the commandments, not a single person could keep the commandments completely. Nobody can do that except Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ fulfilled the law for us because we couldn't do it. So Jesus says to this young man, hey, let's look at the commandments here. Let's look at the law, talking about being good. How are we doing stacked up against thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal? And so that goes out to me and you as well. You know what I mean? If you're sitting out there and you're thinking, I'm a good enough person, I'm not buying this, I don't need a Savior. Okay, well, let's just look at the law. Let's just look at the law real fast. Thou shalt not commit murder. You know what, preacher, you're wasting my time because I ain't never killed nobody. Yeah, but have you ever wanted to? Now, seriously, have you ever hated somebody? Because to truly hate somebody is like, dude, I would totally kill you if I could get away with it. If I was brave enough, if I was willing to pay the price, I would kill you because I hate you. I hate your guts. That's a neat little soundbite we could put on the internet. But look, thou shalt not kill. Jesus says it's not just about ending somebody's life. If you hate somebody, you're guilty of that. You see, Jesus says, I'm looking at the heart, man. All right. I'm not just looking in your back seat to see if you have a machete. I'm looking at your heart, dude. And what about the adultery thing? Oh, I would never commit adultery. I'm a Christian man. If you look at a woman with lust, think about that. You look at the opposite sex with lust. You look at the same sex with lust. You are guilty. We've all fallen short. Jesus is saying, young fella, I love you. Let's look at the law. Let's see how you're doing here, buddy. Okay, let's go to slide 3. Is everybody doing all right? Matthew 19, 18 and 20. So Jesus says, obey the law, follow the commandments. This rich young fella who went to Jesus Christ, that's the first move, and that's the best move right there. He went to Jesus Christ. So I believe this young man is sincere, okay? Matthew 19, 18, he said to him, which ones? Which commandments, Jesus? He said to him, which ones? And Jesus said, you shall not murder. Hey, we just talked about that. You shall not commit adultery. We just talked about that. You shall not steal. Okay, so let's okay, everybody, think about this for a second. Have you ever stole anything? Yeah. Dude, you know, it didn't take me long at all before I started stealing stuff. I've had some memories come back to me of when I was a little kid being in my other friends' houses and waiting for them to walk out or something, like grabbing a toy and put it in my pocket. Yeah, I feel really bad about that. But yeah, I did that. Yeah, anywho, I've done a couple things a little more, never mind. But that was the start. That was the start. Okay, look. Commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Are you? You shall not lie. Anybody ever told a lie? Even a little white lie? There really is no little white lies, right? But thou shalt not bear false witness. And he says, honor your father and mother. Yeah. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So this list that Jesus is going down, it's not a complete thorough list of all the law. But he's hitting these, and he stops, or he lands at this one right here. Love your neighbor as yourself. You know, love your neighbor as you love yourself. So this guy's coming to Jesus, and he says, obey the law, obey the commandments. Which ones? And he goes through this list, and he stops at love your neighbor as you love yourself. It's kind of like an interlude. It's kind of like when we read the Psalms, and we see in the Psalms when it says Selah. You know, pause for a second and think about what you just read, or pause for a second and think about what you just heard. Amen. Jesus lands on, hey, how are you doing with loving your neighbors as you love yourself? Think about that for a second, young man, because you're very rich and you're very wealthy, which God is not against you being rich or wealthy. Not at all. God's not against you having means, having a lot of something. He just doesn't want a lot of something to have you. Amen. And you know what? God's honest truth. Sometimes we ain't got a lot of something, because to have a lot of something isn't what we need for our relationship with the Lord. Does that make sense? God's not going to be our partner to help us acquire something that is not going to further our relationship with Him. Amen. That doesn't mean, well, you can't go get it. But we got to be careful about these things. Christian folks, we got to look around. And just like Jesus is telling this guy, okay, let's look at the law. Let's look at the commandments. How are we doing here, chief? What's going on? God invites us to do the same thing. Look around. Look around your life. What is an idol in your life? Is there anything that is hurting your fellowship with Jesus Christ? Is there anything that is holding us back from having that deeper, more intimate relationship with the Lord? I guarantee you, every single person in here, Christian or not, right now I'm talking to Christian people, I guarantee you that there are things in our life that we can get rid of, that we should get rid of, that are hindering us from going deeper in our relationship with the Lord. Can I get a witness? Okay, and that's just the truth of the matter. And Jesus says, you know, let me search your heart. Let me do the digging for you. Amen. I'll show you some things that you need to work on. And that's all of us. Amen. We're all on that journey. But we do, when something comes to our attention that is not productive to our relationship with the Lord, amen, God says, okay, Here it is. Now we need to work on it. Okay, so moving forward. Okay, what are we doing here? You shall not steal. He stops at love your neighbor as you love yourself. The young man said to him, all these I have kept. What do I still lack? Okay, he's wrong. He hasn't kept them perfectly. That's impossible. I believe he's sincere, but he's completely flawed. I mean, obviously, you cannot keep all the commandments, okay? Thou shalt not steal. That, we just took that test. Thou shalt not lie. We just took that test. Okay, so we know this is something that we cannot do on our own. That's why we need Jesus Christ. Amen. And so you have kept the law. You have kept it perfectly, young man. And that's, imagine Jesus saying that, but with a kind and gentle, loving heart, because Jesus loves this young man. He loves him dearly, just like he loves me and you. You know, and he says, have you really kept them all? Have you really? Remember, we just paused on love your neighbor as you love yourself. I know Jesus is saying, you got some idols in your life, man. There's some things that are keeping you from following Jesus Christ. There are things that are keeping you from being my disciple. Amen. So, Paul, are you saying, let me see if I can understand this. Paul, are you saying that you have to have all your ducks in a row and be perfect before you can accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Nope. I tried to make that at the beginning of the sermon, make that clear at the beginning of the sermon. None of us are good enough. We're not good enough. We accept that precious, perfect gift. But when we accept that gift, that precious gift of salvation, God says, now, look at your life. See what can be removed that is not productive to our relationship. Amen. All these things in our life that are not good for our relationship with the Lord. Can I get a witness? Give the Lord some praise. The young man said to him, all these I have kept. What do I still lack? I've done this, man. I have done this. I'm good at this. I've kept the law. What am I still missing? Because I want eternal life here. What am I doing wrong? Well, if you break one law, you're a sinner, right? If you break one of the laws, you're a lawbreaker. And that's all of us. So this guy ain't kept the law. Look at James 2 and verse 10. So I see a little pride in the young man right there. Okay, James 2 and verse 10. For whoever keeps the whole law. Anybody like the book of James? I love the book of James, man. Okay, so James was a half-brother of Jesus. You guys know that? Same mama, different daddies. Yeah. Yeah. All right. I've been dying to say that in front of you guys. So we didn't pack the punch like I thought it would, though. Okay. James 2 and verse 10. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of all of it. You break one law, you're a lawbreaker. All right. And we've all broken them. Amen. This rich young man, he's broken them. Amen. Romans 6:23, for the wages of breaking laws is death. For the wages of sin is death. Not just laying down one day and not getting up again. Not just leaving this shell that you dwell in now. Okay, we're all going to go that way. Amen. If the Lord tarries, we're all going to die one day. And that's not something for a Christian to be scared about. You know, anywho, moving forward. But what it's talking about, death is a separation. It's talking about being separated from your God, your creator for all eternity, which is the worst thing we cannot even begin to imagine. So for the wages of sin is death. So not only are we not good enough to get to heaven by our own merits, by our own good deeds, but the alternative is eternal damnation. But let's think about God's grace. Think about God's grace, and he is more gracious. I need some of you to listen to this. He is more gracious than you could ever imagine. He is more gracious and more merciful than you could ever imagine before, more than we could ever imagine. And he reaches out to those that are lost. He'll leave the 99 to go after the one. Amen. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the free gift of God is through Jesus Christ. It's because what Jesus Christ did at the cross, because we couldn't do it. Jesus Christ fulfilled these laws that the rich young fella couldn't keep, that we couldn't keep. He fulfilled all that. He went to the cross, paying for our sins. He rose from the dead, defeating death. Amen. So when we take our last breath, boom, we immediately open our eyes in the presence of our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. So for the wages of sin is death. That's bad news. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a free gift. That's really what we're talking about today. The rich young fellow's like, what do I need to do? What good deeds do I need to do? Because I'm a pretty good guy. What good deeds should I do so I can have eternal life? Jesus is like, no. There's only one that's good. There's only one that's fit for heaven. Amen. There's only one that is holy, holy, holy. And Jesus is saying, do you know who you're talking to right now? Because I'm reaching out to you. And he's reaching out to each and every one of us. You know? And you say, well, I'm already a Christian. Okay, well, he's still reaching out to us. He's saying, look, anything in your life that we could work on? All right? It's me standing in the need of prayer. Yeah, I'm a mess. Rachel Jean said, you're a hot mess. I don't even know what that means. I hope it ain't nothing bad. You know, as preachers get older, I know that's not bad, or I don't assume that's not bad. As preachers get older, they say things that they don't quite understand, and the young kids are like, ooh, he just said something dirty, you know? Like the whole Netflix and chill thing a while back. I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know what Netflix and chill meant, man. I did a funeral for a dude, you know, back in the whole Netflix and chill thing. You're like, I want to go watch Netflix and chill. If you don't know what it means, you got to have to ask your kids. I'm not saying it. But I did a funeral. This is cool. You'll like this if you're still paying attention. You'll dig this. I was doing a funeral for this dude. And I said, man, we'd all like to be just chilling and watching Netflix with our buddy right now. But we can't do that. Because he's gone, and all these people's mouths dropped. Like, oh, that's not good. And then later I found out, I was like, dude, you can't really say Netflix and chill because that's not. And I was like, well, I just like to watch Netflix and chill with my buddy. I know what you meant, but that ain't what you were saying. So as preacher, I've seen it, man. I've seen preachers, man. They get older and they lose, you know, and they say things and. Anywho, tell the truth, shame the devil. I'm trying not to do that. Okay, that's 3 minutes you're not getting back. Right? Last week I preached about how short our time is and how we need to prioritize, you know, and he's like, you just stole 3 minutes of my life with that rubbish. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Hey, give the Lord some praise. Let's go to the next slide. Yeah, I really did say that, man, at a funeral too. It was like the worst possible thing. Like you could say that at a wedding. Like, yeah, Netflix and chill, they're married. You know, you can say it at a service. It's not good. Did you say that at a funeral? What's wrong? Look at your neighbor and say, what's wrong with your preacher? Okay. So slide four, are we at slide four? Matthew 19 and verse 21. Jesus said to him, if you would be perfect, the rich guy said, I've been keeping all these laws, man. I've been doing really, really good. Since I was a little kid, I've done all this. Jesus said to him, if you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Come follow me. That's the answer to the question the young man asked. That's it right there. What good deed must I do to be saved or have eternal life? That's the answer right there. It's not about having a good deed. It's not about being good or being cool. It's about following him. Amen. It's about saying, you know what? I'm a sinner. I'm not perfect, man. I cannot get to heaven on my own. I'm not good enough. I'm a sinner, for all of sin and fall short of the glory of God. I need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. And I believe Jesus is who he says he is. You don't have to understand all of it. You just take him at his word that he is who he says he is. You ask him to forgive you of your sins, and you ask him to be your Lord and Savior, and boom, the Holy Spirit swoops down and brands you. You're now blood-bought child of the Most High God. You know, you now belong to God. You're part of the most precious family ever. You're royalty. Amen? So now you belong to Jesus Christ, okay? Jesus said, if you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to the poor. So you've been keeping the law, have you? Remember, Jesus stopped. He paused, camping out on love your neighbor as you love yourself. Are you loving your neighbor as you love yourself, rich young man? Okay, because I think you have some idols in your life, some things that are keeping you from following me, all right? This dude was super wealthy, super, super wealthy. So his God was himself. His God was himself. He was like, it's all about me. Well, no, it's not all about him. Because he's going to Jesus Christ. But when Jesus says, this is what you need to do, he says, no, I can't do that. I can't do that. See, it really is all about him. He got the answer, but he's like, that's too high a price to pay. No, it's not. Jesus paid the price. We accept the free gift. Jesus is telling the guy, get rid of your idols. Follow me. Get rid of your idols. Okay, you got a major idol, dude. Your God is your wealth. Yeah, you might have worked hard for it. You know what I mean? Jesus doesn't care. Like I said, Jesus doesn't care if you're wealthy. He wants us to work hard. He wants us to be productive. You know what I mean? He just does not want us to be bound, to be a slave to the things that we have accumulated or the things we want. We can be a slave to the things we ain't never had. You know what I mean? I want that so bad. Like the fat man, what's he going to say next? I really don't know. I'm just trying to, no, it's like the person that weighs their meat out perfectly and their veggies out perfectly on a scale, that can be their God just as much as the person, you know, that, you know what I'm saying, right? No, you kind of lost me there, but I'm getting hungry. All right. Tell the truth, shame the devil. Okay. You got this roadblock in your life, man. He says, sell what you got and give it to the poor. Why? Because that's your God. And he says the same thing to all of us. What are you worshiping? Who's God? Who's God in your life? Because us as Christians, talking to the Christians again, if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you accepted him as your Lord and Savior, not just Savior, right? He wants to be your Lord too. He wants to be the boss. He says, you submit to me. Now, don't worry, I'm a good boss. I'm the best boss. You submit to me because I'm a good father. I'm the best father. So submit to me. Let me be in charge and you will never, ever, ever regret it. But he's saying to this dude, look at your life. Look at what's going on. Look at what's holding you back. You want to be perfect? You keep talking about perfect and what's good? Okay, do this. Take all your wealth that you've accumulated and give it to the poor. Because that's what's holding you back, man. Jesus doesn't care if you have money. He just doesn't want the money to have you. Amen. Jesus is saying, look, dude, you need to take drastic measures right here. You need to take this serious. We're talking about salvation. We're talking about forgiveness of sins. We're talking about eternal life. So sometimes you got to do something really, really serious. Can I get a witness? Okay, look at Matthew 18 and 8. Matthew 18 and 8 and 9. Matthew 18, 8 and 9. This is Jesus again. Jesus, a different conversation that we're going to jump into real fast. Talking about these things, taking extreme measures with these things that are not productive. And okay, so a lot of this stuff in our life isn't inherently evil or bad. Money's not evil or bad. It's a tool, right? But when it has you, that's a problem. Okay, but look at this, man. This is pretty crazy right here. Matthew 18, 8 and 9. And if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. Brother Josh, can we get the doors locked right here? And Brother Scott, can you get the equipment? And if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than with two hands or two feet and to be thrown into eternal fire. What? What in the heck are you talking about? Now, thank goodness we understand what he's actually saying here, right? Okay. I'm not going off on any more rabbit trails today. Doesn't matter. I'm not doing it. Okay, so there was this one guy. No, okay. Extreme measures, man. If your feet keep leading you into a place you don't need to be, then deal with it, man. If your hands keep getting you into trouble, then deal with it. You know? And look at this part. Men and women, but I feel confident in saying this. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. Guys, do our eyes get us in trouble sometimes? Not just the guys. Not just the guys, but do our eyes ever get us into trouble? You know? Do we look at things we really don't need to be? Oh my gosh, thank you, Jesus. Right? Right? Have you done it? Have you done it? Oh, we ask Jesus to forgive us and mean it. Boom, he throws it away. All right, where are we at? Eyeballs, yes. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into the hell of fire. Man, that's some hardcore stuff. And no, I'm not telling you to cut anything off of your body. Well, God spoke through you and God told, no, he didn't. God does not want you to cut nothing off of your body. But he is saying you need to take some extreme measures, man. You know, I just had to take first aid. I have to take it every so often, man. First aid and CPR. Take it every once in a while. I just had to take like first aid this week. And so the first aid guy tells this story every time, which, you know, I tell a lot of the same stories, but I've only got so many stories to tell, and I'm meeting with you guys 52 times a year. But anyways, moving forward, this CPR guy, he always talks about this dude that is mountain climbing and he falls down or a boulder falls down on him and his arm is pinched underneath this boulder and the guy comes to the realization, this is sick, this is nasty, but this is what he had to do. He comes to the place of understanding, if I am going to live, if I am going to survive, I'm going to have to take my pocket knife and cut my arm off. Yeah, he had to do that. And I'm sure he thought about it long and hard, but eventually he came to the place like, if I'm going to live, if I have any chance of living, I've got to take my arm off, man. That's what God's talking to us, man. Like that, saying, dude, we're not living like we need to be living. You know, we're hurting ourselves in our fellowship with our Lord, right? And he's saying, look, sometimes you just have to be drastic, man. Take some extreme measures. And if going down that road on your way to work or way home from work is causing you to sin, go the long way home. I take the long way home. The long way home. Okay. Matthew 19:21b. And you will have treasures in heaven. I love that part. I love that part. And you will have treasures in heaven. Rich young man, get rid of all this stuff. It's an idol. It's not good for you. It's not good for you. But guess what? Guess what? You follow me, you're going to have treasures in heaven. That is a cool, cool statement right there. You know, one time, it's actually a couple verses after this, because the disciples are hearing this transaction between the rich young man and Jesus. And Jesus says, yeah, it's hard for a rich guy to enter heaven. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich guy to enter the kingdom. Not saying it's impossible, but he's saying a rich man's already got that, he's got that idol just right there, man, you know. But we all have those idols. But the disciples say, well, dude, who can get into heaven then? Because this rich guy looked like he had it all together. And I believe he really felt like he had it all together. You know, he goes to Jesus, but I think he was probably going to be like, Jesus, I think you're going to find me that I'm pretty, pretty cool, Jesus. Matter of fact, Jesus, you might ask if I would mind being one of your disciples, because I really got all my stuff all together. Well, the disciples, you know, they're overhearing this. And Peter says, you know, we've given up everything to follow you. We've given up everything. And this is what Jesus says. Now listen up, talking about treasures in heaven, Matthew 19, 29. And everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or children, or lands, who in the world in their right mind would leave their father and mother to follow Jesus? When you follow Jesus Christ, sometimes your father and your mother disown you, right? This is a real thing, especially in other parts of the world, man. When you say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, I belong to Jesus Christ, you literally could be put to death by your family members, you know, or that can at least just disown you, right? But there's those honor killings, man, where if one of the daughters or young ladies accept Jesus Christ, the brothers, the father can go in there and kill them. And they do that, you know? So, and everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. Really, all you had to say is eternal life, Jesus, but I'll take the 100-fold too. You know, what a wonderful, wonderful promise that God gives us. So don't think that you're missing out if he says, put this aside, this isn't good for you. You're not missing out on anything. Amen? Oh my gosh, tell the truth. Colossians 3:2, Paul says, set your minds on things that are above. Think about heaven, man. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Think about that. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Don't get so focused on the things that are temporary, because everything on this earth is temporary. It's all temporary, except for your soul and your neighbor's soul. Amen. Those go on forever. Amen. Matthew 19, 22. Listen to what the guy said in closing. When the young man heard, when he heard this, when Jesus said, you follow the commandments, huh? What about sell all your stuff and give it to the poor and follow me? When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful. He went away sad. He went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Did he have great possessions, or did those great possessions have him? Right? Right? But, you know, look, this rich young man, he went away sad. He didn't have to go away sad. He did not have to. Jesus was right there saying, there's only one that's good. Do you realize who you're talking to? Follow me. Lay all this rubbish aside and follow me. Amen. See, but Jesus was sad too. How do you know that? Mark 10 and verse 20. Same story, just in Mark. You see this in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Same story, just in Mark. And he said to him, teacher, all these I have kept from my youth. And Jesus, looking at him, loved him. Jesus loved this young man. Jesus knew that he was not going to accept the offer of salvation, but he loved him. But listen, tomorrow's not promised to nobody. I mean, you think about it. Think about it. I'm doing funerals all the time. I have friends almost weekly. Good people, man. Good people going to be with the Lord. And everything's so dangerous nowadays. You mess with a little bit of this, you don't even know what you're getting, man. You know? It ain't like it was when your daddy was doing the dope. You know? It's not like that anymore. But I'm just talking to you out of love, man. Just don't do it. Don't do it. And if that's what's keeping you, I'm talking about being addicted, because addictions can get in the way. It can get in the way of you accepting Jesus Christ. Like, I got this going on. Man, accept Jesus Christ and he will work with you on that. He will. And before I get on my pedestal or my high horse, you know, just, Christians are the same way, man. We get addicted to junk. We mess with stuff we don't really need to be messing with. You know, sometimes we got to pluck our eyes out. But don't go plucking your neighbor's eyes, right? You pray for your neighbor. But it's us. God says, rich young man, you do this. Oh, that sounded real preachery, didn't it? Look, today is the day of salvation. And today is the day for Christians that have idols to just give them to the Lord. Amen. And to follow him wholeheartedly. So look, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you want to. And I'm pleading with you, do this. Do this, because tomorrow's not promised to you. You keep saying that because it's true, man. It's true. I lose people almost weekly. Friends, good dudes, man, good people. That's not even about being good, is it? It's about accepting that gift. If you want to be a Christian, if you want to be saved, if you want your sins to be forgiven, if you want eternal life, repeat this prayer after me. Do not say, well, I don't want to say this because I'm next to this person, or man, rebuke that nonsense. And if you want eternal life, say it. Don't be ashamed of this. Well, I'm just a little nervous. Just pray the prayer. Father God, I know that I'm a sinner. I have broken your laws. I ask you to forgive me of my sins and be my Lord and Savior, Jesus. I repent of my sins. I turn away from them. And I will follow you for the rest of my days. I believe, Jesus, you are the Son of God. You were born of a virgin. You lived a perfect life. You died for my sins. You paid for my sins. And you rose from the dead. I love you, Jesus. Thank you for accepting me. In Jesus' name, amen.